Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Sleepovers. For some, they were the bane of your existence when you were a kid. You never knew who exactly was invited, and you were all supposed to somehow get along. I loved them, though, and as an adult, I miss the feeling of elation I got from staying up all night, chatting, swapping stories, being reprimanded by parental figures to shut up and go to bed, and wanting nothing more than the night and the giggling to keep going on. Now, you can take those feelings of elation and connection with you wherever your earbuds go, with the new podcast, Sleepover, from the CBC. Musician and filmmaker Sukyin Lee hosts sleepover parties, inviting three strangers from all walks of life to share a hotel room and also to help figure out each other's problems as the night goes on. I don't think I've heard another podcast this year that does a better job in making me feel more connected to the strangers in my own community. Take a listen and hear for yourself.
Hi, it's Sukyin. Welcome to a brand new sleepover. Episode 7, Ty's Trouble. If you've been listening and marveling at how seamlessly everything comes together when I invite strangers to hang out with me in a hotel room for 24 hours, think again. Because this time, when I arrive, everything runs off the rails.
I went upstairs.
Yes.
And it's not appropriate for the show.
I can't have you occupying the room and then changing it.
I think we have a lot of miscommunication.
But that's already it.
Ugh. It turns out the previous guests left late, our room's still a mess, and housekeeping won't let us in till it's cleaned up, and they have no idea when that'll be. So, while we wait, I somehow wrangle my way into a small room with only two beds. The problem is, three strangers are about to arrive any second now. I take a deep breath and shake it all out.
Judy, come on in.
This is beautiful.
Judy zooms in on her electric wheelchair. On a dime, she hits the brakes and does a 180 hairpin turn in the middle of the room, and then casually checks out the view.
Wow. Oh, wow. You really jet around on that wheelchair.
I never hit anybody, but I did roll over some people's feet.
You're a speed demon. Yeah. No wonder why you got here first.
Hello.
I brought strawberries, chairs, and cookies.
I really, really like cookies.
Ty is armed with supplies. He has long dark hair that goes past his shoulders. At a glance, he could be a girl or a boy. Even his clothes are unisex. An oversized purple shirt and khaki shorts. Hey, the kid's got style.
Judy, Ty. Ty, Hi. Judy.
Hello, Judy.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I say let's do it.
Ty and Judy are getting along great. Phew! Over the next few hours, they're going to be opening up about their problems. Two strangers in, one more to go. But the biggest problem so far? Our third guest is missing.
How are we doing for time? They said they would have just called me. Is he here yet?
No.
More than an hour passes, and we're still waiting. Where the heck is stranger number three? I find out that stranger three had an emergency and split town. Now he's heading back to the city, but he's stuck in traffic. Judy reclines in her wheelchair with her feet in the air and takes a power nap.
Shh, we don't want to wake.
I think I might pass out myself.
Ty falls asleep, cuddling with his mom, Nikki. We need to conserve our energy. So I close my eyes too.
Housekeeping. Just kidding.
Jagmeet, you are so late.
I know, I'm so sorry.
The strangers are sleeping.
No, they're not.
They are. Jagmeet, this is Ty.
Hi, Ty, how are you?
Are you awake now?
Kind of, yes.
Judy, do you remember who I am? No.
Jagmeet Singh.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
How was your sleep, Judy?
Oh, it was so good.
Where have you been? We've been speculating.
My constituents had a serious issue that I had to take care of.
You're a politician?
Yeah, it's part of my job. I got to take care of people.
Well, I'm glad you made it here.
Jagmeet Singh, unorthodox politician and MPP, is a disarmingly handsome man in a blue linen suit, bright pink turban, long black beard, and go-getter attitude. Finally, we're all together in one hotel room. Now we can get down to some problem solving. First urgency, Judy has to go to the bathroom, but she can't get in through the narrow doorway. Thankfully, our wheelchair accessible room is now ready to check into. We grab our things and move downstairs to room 2-127.
Can you press 2?
No, we're gonna have to take a left.
Do us the honors, Ty.
Okay.
Everyone's groggy, except for Jagmeet, so I put on a pot of coffee. All right, we gather in a small circle by the window. Ty and Jagmeet are on armchairs, me on the ottoman, and Judy in her wheelchair. First, we introduce ourselves.
As you know, I'm Sukyin Lee. I grew up in Lynn Valley, tiny little town outside of Vancouver. There was an incredible dense forest behind my house where I used to always love to escape to and play. I like to make songs up, and I like to dance however I want to, and I'm not so good at following the rules. I now turn it over to Jagmeet Singh.
Right now I'm a politician. I'm also a lawyer. There's always been this thread through my life where I've been fighting against unfairness. I'm an avid cyclist. I'm a Sikh. I'm a vegetarian.
Some people say Sikh, and some people say Sikh.
This is great if we can get this clarified once and for all. In Punjabi, you would only ever say Sikh. You would never say Sikh. I don't accept the word Sikh. I think it should be Sikh. And it means student.
Cool. Judy Kennedy, who are you?
Oh, I am a nature lover. To be in the abundance of trees and hills and forests is the ultimate for me. I was born in Vancouver. I was a daycare teacher all my life, and I ended up with a neurological disease that prevented me from walking, but I'm still able to be in nature, which gives me great joy.
Well, I'm Ty. I like indoors a little bit more because it has air conditioning, because it can get really hot and they get sweaty and sticky. AC!
We are cool and refreshed and ready to tackle our troubles. Everyone has a turn. Ty's up first. To get to know him better, here's how he describes himself.
My name is Ty and I am 9 years old. One of my favorite things is math. It just identifies the world around us, really. If you think of it, like, math is like the 2D thing of humanity and science is 3D, which I also like science. So once you can do math, then you can learn the building blocks and then build up through science and then do anything. If you can do it right, you'll need a little bit of information to get a lot of answers. Like, let's say a meteor was coming towards Earth. I learned when I was really young that using math, you can get all its velocity and speed and stuff. Calculate if it goes 437 meters a second, and you're like 4,760,000 seconds. Try to see how far it is from you, and you can find a way, try to build something to, like, reflect it.
When did you fall in love?
First sight. Kindergarten, grade one. She was nice. She was kind. She was intelligent. You know, altogether wonderful, but...
Did you ever make your feelings known to her?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, I just told her that how I feel for her, really. She said, like, I love you and stuff.
And how did she react?
Like, first just, like, really confused, then a little bit weird and weirded out. Yeah, it was really, really weird now that I think back.
So, how are your feelings today towards her?
Mostly just sadness. Love really is just brain stuff, but when you get the feeling of love, it can be expressed through science, but just true love just is inexplainable. Math understands me, and the girl doesn't.
I really like the way you were explaining math and science I guess love in some ways starts off maybe with the brain where you like you think, hey, I like these things about this person. But at some point it becomes unexplainable.
Scientists have defined love as just like fireworks in your brain going, something's happening. It makes these weird chemicals and you feel weird. But I think maybe the people who said that don't really know what true love feels like because that stuff is just unexplainable.
Ty, how do you know so much about this?
I just got a little bit of information that my brain was just like connecting the dots and making a bigger figure.
I asked baby genius Ty Poole to bring an object from home that relates to a problem in his life. He reaches around his neck and shows it to us.
It's called a Paua necklace and it's made out of these very, very beautiful shells called Paua. A Paua is like this type of like fish. It's really, really shiny inside. My grandfather lives in New Zealand, and there's a lot of fish. He's like the king of the sea. When he was 7, he was like snorkeling and diving and catching stuff. I caught my first fish with him. He would just help me reel it in. This is something he wants me to remember him by because he has cancer. The ones you can't really fully recover from. It was just getting very, 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 very bad. He wanted to make us these before his operation so we can remember him by if he, you know, doesn't come out.
Ty's grandfather made it out of surgery, but it's been a tough period of recovery.
It was a super hard roller coaster. He couldn't even sit up. He would pass out. Eventually, he was able to eat solids, but then there's this really, really scary part. Something went wrong and green fluid was just coming out of his body. He's taking chemotherapy now just to like blow up the cancer cells and it's really not going well. He might not ever be able to fish or even eat fish. It's just really horrible. And the worst part is that he's alone. There's no one there to help him.
When was the last time you saw him in New Zealand and what did the two of you do together?
He had the operation and most of the time he was in the hospital, so we were just there to support him. I was there holding his hand saying like, come on, get better, man. And I was helping him open doors, getting upstairs. No fishing.
What was it like to have to leave him and come back to Toronto?
It's really sad. Like, now again, he's just all alone. I think really the only thing that's getting in the way of me and him being together is just money and space. To fly there and back and buy rooms is $10,000. I feel so helpless. I want to go help him, but I can't.
So part of Ty's problem is being separated, far away from his grandfather in New Zealand. So how can he collapse that distance and still feel close? Judy knows what that's like. When she was diagnosed with the neurological disorder that makes her unable to walk, her family was on the other side of the country.
It is difficult, and I can understand Ty's situation. There are times when you just have to rely on yourself. I didn't want to impose. I'm very independent. I didn't want to give that up for any reason, so I did what I could. I relied on people who were closest in distance to me.
What made it okay for you?
Creating good memories in my mind. It doesn't always mean that things were good, but you take bits and pieces out of things that happened and you focus on that in hard times when you have to rely, like Ty, with such a distance. You rely on your own mind.
Being far from your family can be hard, but Jagmeet knows that being close to someone you love when they're ill is hard too. Years ago, his dad, a psychiatrist, suffered a mental breakdown. Jagmeet was around the same age as Ty is now, 10 years old. He was a boy wanting to help his dad, who was overwhelmed with illness.
He went through a time period where he was quite ill and pushed people away sometimes. He would just kind of yell and get angry, did things that didn't make sense, and be a bit aggressive. So it was just kind of a scary thing. Mm-hmm. I always felt there was something I was doing wrong. Why is he angry at me? And a lot of self-blaming happened. When you're young, you kind of don't understand these things. Then I also had this feeling like, oh, it's my dad. I want to take care of him. I want to help him out. I had a bit of this complex where I was the oldest, so I felt like it was my duty to be the one that took care of situations. And I guess I didn't feel like I could. And so that makes you feel powerless, that I can't fix this, and I wanted to fix it.
Do you remember at any time when it was at the worst of things that you were able to come together?
Yeah, I mean, throughout it all, it wasn't like a steady thing that it was always bad. So there was a lot of positive moments. We had a dog. We both liked to go for walks. Also, where I grew up in Windsor, we had a forest right beside the house. And we spent a lot of time going for walks in the forest. So I have a lot of fond memories of that.
So it's possible, even in the middle of the crisis, to have brief respites where things are okay.
Definitely. Those moments helped so much despite some of the difficult things we went through.
The most common reaction in a situation like that is to feel powerless. And instead of standing by and watch it happen, there are concrete things that you can do to make yourself feel better and make the other person feel better. I'm a card person. If someone takes the time to send me a card right out of the blue, that is worth $1 million.
We send these things called chemo cards where they're like get better cards and we say something every week.
What a great idea.
Like one of them is like, one more chemo down, now let's celebrate with whatever doesn't taste disgusting.
So you're all over the cards.
Yeah, totally.
Well, my sister, when she was diagnosed with cancer, she was in a lot of pain. She had to go through chemo and radiation and surgery. Her whole life was turned upside down. So she came up with this thing called the 30-day drawing challenge. Every day what we would do is we would ask each other a question, and then we would answer it in a piece of art. One was like, what's something new? And she drew her swimming goggles, and I drew my skirt. What's your favorite animal? And we both drew cats. We're like learning all this new stuff about each other. But also when we were making stuff, she just had a moment where she didn't have to think about cancer so much. I wonder what you could do with your grandfather.
I know. He has a keyboard and he's really good at it, like me. So we could like make a song together or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I could put like little clips of my songs and then he could put in little clips and then we could record stuff that we say ourselves.
That's amazing.
Ty will find new ways to connect with his grandfather that can make him feel a little less helpless. But there's a deeper level to his struggle. Ty's a math genius. He loves figuring out equations. But cancer is one problem he can't answer.
Why does it have to be him? Why does it have to happen? And why is the chemotherapy popping his teeth out? Something I think I need help with that I'm trying to solve myself is just that I just need help getting over the fact that life is just not really that enjoyable and pleasant as you think it is.
How can we help Ty get over the fact that life is hard? Well, at the onset of her illness, Judy was forced to deal with tremendously difficult changes.
When I was hiking, when I was walking, my legs were getting weaker and I knew something wasn't right. I really was angry because I hiked. That was what gave me pleasure, and I cross-country skied, I cycled. Losing control of my body was scary. I would talk to my legs and say, get up, you stupid legs. Get up and walk and do things. But it takes time to digest everything. And then you come to accept it and learn other ways of living.
What was instrumental to you accepting the new normal?
I'm a very spiritual person. I have a strong faith, and that's what kept me grounded. I would pray a lot, and I had some church people with me. We created a new life.
Jagmeet, what does your Sikh faith teach in terms of accepting one's mortality?
So one of the things that gives me a lot of strength in dealing with difficulties, loss or pain, we have a belief that a lot of the things that we see around us are an illusion and the truth is underneath it. There's an energy in all of us, an energy in all things, and that energy is infinite. When you connect with it, you connect with the people you love, the planet, all life forms. So there's a connectivity, there's a unity. Sometimes that helps me feel less alone. And it also helps to cope with the fact that someone may not be in your life anymore, but the energy of that person will always be with you. And that energy is something you can always tap into. Amongst all this diversity and all what looks different, the fact that we're all sitting in different chairs, we're all in different bodies, actually we're all one. And that's where a lot of our morality comes from, the idea that if you see someone suffering, that person's suffering is in fact me suffering. If you care for the planet, other people, you're caring for yourself because we're all one and the same. Similar to the, I guess, idea in science where energy is never created or destroyed, it just changes form. We believe that the energy in you, it may change form, you may no longer be in this body, but that energy is infinite, it'll last forever.
Ty, I mean, you are a boy of numbers. Do you believe in God at all?
My family is Buddhist, but I don't believe in God, I just believe in a higher life form than us. Science says, specifically, there's just always more. It's infinite. There's no God, because God may think that a dude higher than him, God is like...
There's always a God above God.
Yes.
Even when Ty thinks of religion, he thinks of it through science. I wonder if instead of looking to spirituality for guidance, can he look to math to help solve his problem?
Science says that acceptance is probably just information in the brain that's been processed and it goes to like the hippocampus or stuff. But really, I think acceptance and order and math and stuff is when certain things like quadratic formulas have two answers, positive and a negative. I think that's just really what acceptance is. It's like this thing is too complex to solve it or explain it.
Ty, how are you going to move forward, accepting what is happening with your grandpa?
He still may never be the same after what happens, considering, you know, all the crap he's been through. But then, you know, eventually, not only will I accept it, he'll accept it too. In a couple of years, I realize he'll accept death.
I went through kind of a similar situation. My sister suddenly died in a car accident. We were very young, and it was really hard for me to accept because it just sort of, it wasn't even like slow death. It was like sudden death, and she was gone. And it was very, very hard. Boom, out of my life. And I could not feel better. Can't bring her back. And all I could do is just like wander around. And I just had to feel the depth of difficult feelings. And it took a while. I took a trip down to the States, slept in cars. I pretty much lost my noodle. People would offer advice and I was like, this isn't really helping. But the one thing that did help was certainly time. And then sometimes just like hanging out with people that I love who just sat with me, didn't even say anything, just like hung out.
And it's kind of like what we're just doing here. We're just hanging out, talking about our problems.
That's very true.
Knowing that other people are feeling pain makes you feel sad, but then that sadness is also just like another piece of the puzzle. Life is hard and you're gonna have to be sad. It's like acquiring a piece of a puzzle that you'd never be able to solve, and then you'll get just a little bit closer in the puzzle of acceptance.
I mean, I'm thinking about another guy who is super big into maths and science. You may know him. His name is Albert Einstein. There's a quote that he says, "The human mind, no matter how highly trained, cannot grasp the universe. The most beautiful emotion you can experience is the mystical. It is the power of all true art
and science."
Jinx.
We don't all have the answers, but there's different paths to take to try to make sense of this all. And one of the things I've just seen in Ty is this optimism in the face of despair. It's a very Sikh principle. We have this thing we say, Chardi Kala, that when we greet each other and someone asks, how are you doing? You say, rising spirits. Chardi Kala means rising spirits. And it's a way to encourage everyone to feel eternally optimistic, even in the face of things not looking so good. And I think you're the embodiment of this amazing idea.
Yes, I think Ty is handling the whole situation in such a mature and wise way that she will be an inspiration to other people. And
he...
I'm sorry.
You get that a lot, I bet.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, he's got very long hair.
I got a lot growing up, too. Because I had long hair and I was a boy, so I got it a lot.
I got it, too. A lot of people thought I was a boy. They still do. They're like, thank you, sir. I'm like, hello?
We have a light moment of bonding over our shared androgyny. We've been talking for a while now, so we get up to stretch our legs. But one person is still seated. Judy seems lost in thought, affected by Ty's trouble.
Can I give you a hug?
Hey.
Oh, sorry, Ty.
No,
I'm so sorry.
Seeing small but mighty Ty wrapped in Judy's arms isn't something I'd have anticipated happening so soon between these strangers. With a child's curiosity, Ty's grappling with one of life's fundamental horrors, death and sickness. How can we accept the pain and suffering that comes with life and death? How can we accept the loss of those we love or the loss of our own capabilities and bodily functions? Mostly, we just stave away thinking of such things until they happen, and they will occur to all of us. There's nothing we can say or do that will make it go away, but maybe it's enough to create this space together, to think on it for just a while. Next week on Sleepover, Judy lets us in on the thing she wants the most.
I still want some romance in my life.
Did you pray for romance?
Yes, I did. I prayed to God darn hard.
Find out how we try to solve her romance problem. Here's a hint. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Our third trilogy of strangers in Hotel Room 2-127, Judy Kennedy, Ty Poole, and Jagmeet Singh. To see photos and mini movies of us all together, or to hear past episodes, go to cbc.ca/sleepover. You can subscribe to Sleepover on iTunes, your favorite podcast app, or download the CBC Radio app. And while you're at it, write an iTunes review and you will be our best friend forever. Oh, and hey, if you know someone who would make an awesome sleepover guest, do tell. Who are they? What are they like? And what's their problem, eh? Email sleepover@cbc.ca. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook and Sleepover on Instagram. I'm Sukhyun Lee. Sleepover is made with Night Owls, Tom Howell, Veronica Simmons, and TK Matunda. When strangers collide, amazing stuff happens.
That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at kalw.org. Look under the Programs tab. I love listening to your suggestions, so please take a moment and share a few of the podcasts that have hooked you recently. Email me at thespot@kalw.org. And thanks for listening. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Tune in next Sunday, same time, for another episode of The Spot, only on 91.7 KALW, San Francisco.